I'm your host, Jeff Ragavan, and welcome to Alchemy, the podcast all about building a business on the front lines of the new economy.
Welcome back to this week's episode of Alchemy. Very excited to welcome Mary Beth Pate. She's the Vice President of Marketing and Communications and Donor Experience for the City of Hope. Mary Beth, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here with you today.
It's so great to be with you in person in Cleveland doing the show.
And it's actually sunny and nice out here for once, right?
Well, I mean, we're kind of getting on that, you know, almost spring mentality.
Very exciting.
Still a little chilly.
Still a little, always, right?
I don't know if you did see the weather report, though.
It's coming again.
It's coming again. There's a big snowstorm this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully I'll get back to New York.
You will. You'll be good.
So Mary Beth, you know, I was excited to have you on the show just because your career is so interesting. You know, for everybody that's tuning in now, Mary Beth is at the City of Hope, which is an independent biomedical research and treatment organization for cancer, diabetes, and other illnesses. You know, you spent 18 years at Cleveland Clinic and you worked for the Browns.
Yes. So I always love this question because people always say, so you went from sports to healthcare, and what was that change and why did you make it? So I was actually a sports management and marketing major in college and really loved sports and thought this is my passion. I can execute events and production for a sports team. And I interned for the Cleveland Indians, now Guardians, went to the Cleveland Browns and got to meet the chief communications officer for Cleveland Clinic. And she said to me, I need you to do what you do every day for the Browns for me at Cleveland Clinic. And I really didn't know what she meant.
Right.
And she said, we just hired a new CEO. Mm-hmm. And at the time it was Dr. Toby Cosgrove. And she said, he's looking to really engage all of the caregivers through different events, production, video, and so on. And she said, that's what you do every day on game day. You're entertaining fans, you're engaging them, you're communicating with them. I need this help to set up a new media production department at Cleveland Clinic.
Wow.
And so took the leap of faith and went over to healthcare. And to be honest, didn't think I would be there as long as I was.
18 years.
Yes. I really thought I would get back into sports,
yeah.
But had the ability to really move up in the organization and manage things like sports marketing, like advertising, all the events that were going on for the CEO. And so it gave me a really great platform to work around a mission that was so touching to me. And so healthcare is my passion now. And so that's why I was there for almost 18 years and now at City of Hope.
I love it. And so, I mean, are there elements of the sports world that you really miss? Or do you feel like, hey, I'm actually totally okay with what I'm doing now? And then I get my fill by going to sports.
Exactly. Know, I think I lost my passion for going to sporting events while I was working in it. Now it's fun to be an attendee again and a fan again. So, because I am a huge Browns fan.
Yeah.
So it's nice to go back and not be working.
There you go. And so, you know, you were at Cleveland Clinic for so many years.
Yes.
What was it that, you know, got you to say, I'm going to make a move now, you know, to City of Hope? Like,
sure.
what was that moment for you? And talk to us a little bit about the role that you're doing right now. I know that you're kind of going back and forth between Cleveland and California.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we met a couple months ago, maybe a month ago. I don't remember. It was at a Digital Fork dinner.
Yes.
And so Jeff had introduced us and we had him on the show actually recently, which was really fun.
He's fantastic.
He's great.
Mm-hmm.
Such a great guy. So yeah, talk to us a little bit about your career.
Sure.
So at City of Hope.
Yeah, it's been a great path. You know, I think the timing was right to take a new step. I always like, you know, in my head, I'm always saying, what's next? What's my next challenge? And, you know, at Cleveland Clinic had the ability to really build an incredible team. Felt like the organization within marketing communications and philanthropy communications was in a great space. Got a call about an opportunity to really build a new team and build kind of from the bottom up a new marketing and communications platform for the Office of Philanthropy and also be the connective tissue between marketing and communications within City of Hope. And so gave me the opportunity to take a big step forward, be able to travel. The other big piece of it was City of Hope had acquired Cancer Treatment Centers of America. And right. this really was an opportunity to take an organization that was based in Southern California national and really look at how that brand was going to come alive nationally. And so love a good challenge. And so I've been there almost 4 months now. And so really seeing all the work that needs to be done. And I have an incredible team hiring right now, some more folks, and just really excited about what the future holds.
Yeah. I think we, you know, especially growing up, it's like you see those commercials for cancer treatments in America. So people
know that, brand.
You know that brand, it's in your head. And now that it's kind of turned into a different brand, like how do you how do you get that new messaging and new branding out there?
Yeah, it's a great question. So a lot of people are familiar with CTCA, and they were a for-profit entity. City of Hope is a not-for-profit one. So this is a big shift where we're taking research and education and really all the core components of a not-for-profit health system into their organization. And so being able to deliver specifically cancer care in new markets for City of Hope, like Chicago and Phoenix and Atlanta, it's going to be a real game changer for us and for the organization and for the community, which is really important. Cancer touches everyone, unfortunately. And so being able to provide that care and what we like to say is from bench to bedside. So from research to the patient directly, this will be really differentiating in those markets.
Yeah. I'm curious, you know, at least on the media and advertising side, I know we do a lot of work at Philo in the healthcare space, pharmaceutical, et cetera. And there's a lot of challenges with HIPAA and privacy and all that stuff that's kind of a no-no. So when you want to, you know, you want people to find you, but you also want to find people. Right. So obviously, you know, there's data out there that could help support that, but you have to be careful on your approach. So I know that it's only been 4 months, but has there been any kind of like, okay, we have to do this differently today, just because especially with privacy laws in place, like it's not just healthcare. I mean, it's everybody, but HIPAA in particular, like you could get in a lot of trouble.
Right.
So what is the thinking, you know, for the nonprofit?
When we look at, you know, and it very similar to our approach when I was at Cleveland Clinic, now at City of Hope, we have to be very sensitive to who we're marketing to, when we're doing that and how we're doing it, right? And so media partners like yourself can really help us think through the best way to target people, but not to do it in a way that's uncomfortable to them or breaking any of those rules and regulations. So a lot of people can get targeted with shoe ads on Facebook or things of that nature. A little bit different in this case where, you know, we want to share information. So when people are seeking it, that we're there for them and that we're not necessarily targeting them directly. We also want to make sure that we're educating them in the right way. So if somebody is diagnosed with cancer, do they need a second opinion? What are those sorts of things that we can offer, whether it's clinical trials or things of that nature in more of an educational space than in a true advertising, trying to get you to make a decision right now.
So, you know, I think, you know, you've had 18 years experience at Cleveland Clinic. So you're kind of like, you know, from the sports marketing world into healthcare, I think you've now been exposed to, obviously, people have ailments and it's sad too.
Right.
And then obviously a lot of people overcome it and they fight it and it's amazing, but it can be draining.
Yes.
And I think you being in the space for a long time and now moving over to City of Hope, like, how do you get through the days when you're exposed to like really tough scenarios with people, right?
Sure. Well, you know, I used to, you know, always say if I thought I was having a bad day, go walk up to the, you know, Cleveland Clinic Children's floor and walk around and just see what's happening because it'll put it all in perspective.
Yeah, I'd basically be in tears.
Exactly. And I'm a very sensitive person, so there have been many tears. I unfortunately lost my mom to cancer a couple of years ago. So when this position opened up, there was a mission piece to this that was really important to me as well. Obviously, Cleveland Clinic has a great cancer program. City of Hope is really dedicated to that. And so the research that they're doing every day and really providing hope to people, and I, you know, I love their mission of turning hope into reality. I think it's so spot on. And that's what really drives me every day is how can we market to people to get them in and save their lives? How can we fundraise to keep research going? That's what gets me excited. I would never be on the medical side because I wouldn't be able to handle that day in and day out. But being able to help the researchers, the doctors, the patients in the small way that myself and our team does is really, really special. And I think, you know, going back to the original question of going from sports to healthcare, I think once I got in and started kind of drinking the Kool-Aid around the mission, that's when I said healthcare is for me.
Yeah, because no, that's amazing.
It feels good at the end of the day when you hear those great stories of you saved my life or those sorts of things.
Well, I think we all, you know, cancer touches everyone, right? I lost my father also to cancer. Like everybody knows someone that has lost someone to cancer. And, you know, years ago, my good friend Jen Lin, she had a very rare sarcoma in her stomach. Metastasized, like it was terrible, and she, you know, we lost her. And from that, she was big into cycling, and that's where Cycle for Survival came from. And so we worked with Memorial Sloan Kettering on that. And you know, my company, you know, that I co-founded, Buddy Media, back in the day, we were, since we're so connected to Jen, we were kind of like the big sponsors and the big pushers of this. And now it's like incredible how much money they're raising for rare cancers. But you see this everywhere. You see people who are affected, you see them launching, you know, raising money, trying to, you know, to fight this. And, you know, I feel like going through so many years of Cycle for Survival and seeing both survivors, but then also videos of people that didn't survive is very emotionally draining. You know, it's like, and the people are crying. I mean, it's just, it's both a wonderful thing, but also a very like hard.
It is hard.
Pill to swallow, you know?
So hard. And I think, you know, working for an organization like City of Hope that is really trying to give patients hope and those that are scared. I mean, we're all scared of getting cancer, right? Yes. I mean, it's one of the biggest fears people have. And so it's one of those things where we're not going to stop until there's a cure for all these different types of cancers. And hopefully one day, you know, we're not even talking about this and I'm out of a job.
You go back to sports.
I could go back to sports. Possibly.
Or you go back to sports or other healthcare, right? So, okay. Well, you've been there for 4 months. What has been maybe some of the most amazing things that you've seen so far? I don't know. It could be the mission. It could be the people. It could be like this new look on, you know, starting fresh, you know, somewhere else, new lens.
I think, you know, it's a couple things. Definitely the lens piece is great to just be working with new people and, you know, seeing their vision for where we can take the organization. The other piece is, you know, working with an incredible team. I have some great folks that I'm working with that are coming from all different walks of life and backgrounds. And so just learning new perspectives, you know, sometimes you, you get so comfortable with the people you work with that, it is great to get outside that current network and start to really, you know, learn about other people's backgrounds and bringing new perspectives to the table. And so for myself, I'm really lucky to have an incredible leadership team that just has such a diverse background. And then those that I'm working for, you know, just so passionate about what we're doing every day and the guidance that they're giving. And so, you know, I'm just excited about what the future holds, you know, and what we can do.
How big is the team right now?
So my team in total is about 35, and we're growing. So, and then, you know, overall the Office of Philanthropy is about 200 and some people. And then the organization as a whole is at about 12,000.
Wow. That's huge. I didn't realize it was that big.
Yes.
Wow. And so from a facility standpoint, where are they? Are they dispersed over the country? Are they in certain locations?
Yeah. So I'm lucky enough that when I was recruited that I could stay in Cleveland and work remote and travel to our locations. So I've been to Southern California a couple of times already, which is great.
Not a bad gig in the winter.
Exactly. Right? Not a bad gig at all. And then a few of my direct reports are all over the country. So we're really able to recruit from all over, which is amazing. Something that probably wouldn't have happened, you know, pre-pandemic.
Yeah.
So, you know, at this point in time, we're, you know, like I said, we're
heavy remote.
We're heavy remote and we're hiring and we're looking for the best and brightest.
That's awesome. Mary Beth, a couple of like more lighter questions.
Yes.
Get to know you a little better.
Okay.
And so I try to come up with different questions every show just because it's fun to hear the answers, but also get to know you better outside of work.
Okay. Uh-oh.
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. This is a great question.
Okay.
So if you could eat one food for the rest of your life, but there's a catch.
Okay.
It had to be dipped in hot sauce. What food would that be?
Okay, that one's easy. As a football fan, right? Yeah. Chicken wing.
I kind of knew you were going to say that.
Yes.
I mean, I think I could eat chicken wings every day. Mm-hmm. With hot sauce.
Totally.
For the rest of my life.
Yes. I need a little ranch too, though.
Mm. Yeah, ranch and hot sauce.
Yes, together. Exactly.
Okay. So if you had to choose between being able to speak with animals.
Okay.
Or speak every language around the world fluently, what would you choose?
That's a fun one, but I would have to say speak with animals. Mm-hmm. I am the biggest animal lover. Mm-hmm. I've had so many rescue dogs over my whole life that I would love to know what they're thinking and saying to me when they look at me or bark at me or, you know, are whining.
Mom, want to go out?
What do I want? Yes. What do you want?
Actually, it'd be kind of fun too to do that with like bears and raccoons and squirrels.
Yeah.
And like, you know, that you could talk to all of them.
Right, right. When that bunny's hopping across and my dog's ready to go, like, what's the bunny saying to the dog, right?
It's so interesting, by the way, if you really think about it, right? Like, they obviously can communicate in their own way, mm-hmm. and they are thinking things, right? But we just don't know.
Right.
I think, too, like, my dog is extremely human. So, like, I'd say 60% of the time I know exactly what he's thinking. Mm-hmm. The other 40%, I'm like, I have no fucking clue.
And it's so funny, and especially when they don't feel good, right? Tell me what's wrong. Why aren't you feeling good? Why are you sleeping more? You know, or do you need to go for a run? Like, what is going on? You're doing zoomies.
But when they bark, and it's like, okay, do you want a toy? No, you don't want a toy. Do you want food? No, you want food. Do you want to go out? Then I'm like, I don't know what you want.
Yes, you're driving me crazy.
Right, I don't know what you want. Okay, so if you had to be a vegetable. This is a strange question, actually, but what would you be?
All right. Well, I would probably say a carrot, but a long carrot. So I'm like nice and tall and thin.
I love it. And
tanned all the time.
That's a great answer. By the way, I'm going to use this question again with someone.
Yeah, I want to know what they
are. I don't think people will come up with an answer as good as that.
Okay. Well, thanks. Yeah. I'm glad.
What would I say? I don't know what I would say, actually. You were good at that's because you're in marketing.
You're very creative.
Okay, so if you could swap lives with any fictional character, who would it be and why?
Oh, a fictional character. I would probably have to say some kind of princess living in a castle, wearing the big poofy dress, mm-hmm. the princess crown every day, having someone to wait on me night and day. That would be kind of fun.
Okay, fair enough.
How about you?
That's a good question. I would definitely want to be some type of wizard in a book where I could cast spells.
That would be fun.
Right?
Yes.
Okay, last question.
Okay.
So if you had a superpower, mm-hmm. what would it be? And would you have a costume?
Mm. I mean, of course you have to have a costume. You've got to have a cool look, right? You know, I think there's two things I would say, and you've said I have to have one, but one route like that would be great would be to be able to cure cancer, right? But I have to say that as a marketer, but I would say being able to probably see into the future, mm-hmm. so that if you could make some changes and make, you know, because, you know, gosh, I made a misstep on this versus, you know, I could see in the future and go, okay, I can correct that.
That would be pretty wild.
It would be pretty wild.
For investing, too.
It would be, yeah.
I've always thought of that. I'm like, oh, if I could go back 30 years and just make those investments.
Right. Should I have bought that purse or that?
Or that house.
Yeah, exactly.
In an area that has, you know, totally blown up.
Exactly.
So, crazy. Well, listen, I don't know how we got to the end of the time already, but talking to you is very easy, so...
Thank you.
Really appreciate you coming on the show, and congrats on everything and your new role, and can't wait to see what you do this year.
Thank you. This has been great.
Yeah. Great to have you, Mary Beth.
Thank you.
This episode of the Alchemy Podcast was brought to you by Philo. Thanks for tuning in. And if you enjoyed today's show, don't forget to subscribe and share.